a little bit about Dr. Spangler. I hope all of you had a chance to read the little flyer I put in your mail today. Dr. Spangler presently is serving two parishes in Wisconsin, in Searing and in Breed. He's served there, I guess, about 8 years. His expertise in this particular area is he got his doctoral thesis, his doctorate in this particular area, I guess, over the years, working with this kind of subject and topic, collected and accumulated enough research so that some university finally decided that it was well worth the effort to go ahead and grant a degree in this area. And that particular university was Bethany Evangelical Seminary in Dothan, Alabama. Dr. Spangler attended Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. He has given innumerable presentations on this particular topic, as well as the occult, astrology, drug abuse, on and on and on. Evidently, there's a pattern where this just fits into all these areas, so there you can't really have a cutoff point. With that, I'd like to introduce Dr. Spangler, and if there's anything further he will have as far as questions about his expertise or his experience in this area, I'll leave him to answer those questions for you. With that, would you all welcome Dr. Spangler.
Thank you. It's always good to be with you guys. I've been kind of anxious to get down here for a long time, okay? I'm going to be talking about rock music tonight, but we'll cover a lot more territory than that. If we have the time, as we go along, we'll be touching on the media in general, television, movies, videos, the printed, and so forth, okay? And I want to get the ground rules down first, okay? And they are simply this. Number one, don't you take my word for any of this, okay? One of the principles I operate with, and I recommend it to you highly, is simply this. Don't take anybody's word for anything. You check it out for yourself. And I don't care if it's your professor, your pastor, your mom, your dad, sister, brother, or whoever else it is. You don't know that it's true only to the extent that you check it out for yourself. They may be absolutely sincere. They may be thoroughly convinced, and they may be absolutely wrong, for all you know. Okay? And that goes especially for the scriptures. You got to check it out for yourself. Same thing here tonight. I'm going to be giving you the means to do just that. For example, I've got every quote I'm going to be using here tonight. You get it before you leave. You want to pass those out? Okay? They're all cited down there with the locations, either from the albums, the magazine, or wherever they came from. And so you can look it up and see if I'm distorting it or not, whether it's accurate or not. Okay? And I encourage you to do so. For those of you who will be working with other people in this area and trying to do something with it, you deal with young people, that's the only way you're going to function, gang. Okay? That's ground number one. Number two is, would you please hang on to your questions and comments till later? For a couple of reasons. One is, I'm not able to get to your question if you give me enough time. Number two, it may be an absolute burning need in your life, but nobody else would ever care a bit, okay? And the other thought is that when we're done here, I'll stay here till midnight, 1, 2 o'clock, see you tomorrow morning, whatever, to talk with you personally, hear your concern, question, comment, or your objection, okay? I mean that. The other thing is, I have so much to throw at you tonight, I can't possibly squeeze it in the time we've got. I just go as far as I can, for as fast as we can, and let her go, okay? I have given 6 hours of this stuff at a stretch. I could probably do 10, 12, 14. I have no idea, okay? But I'm only going to throw just under 2 hours at you, and we'll have just a couple of questions in for everybody, and then we'll just kind of break up. And those you want to stick around, those you want to go over there and pick out, go ahead, okay? I know some of you poor people out there are just starving. I can see it, right? Okay, so that's just basically what we want to do. Now, what are we talking about here? Rock music? There's all kinds of it, isn't there? There's hard rock, punk rock, soft rock, new wave. There's bubblegum. There's metal, heavy metal, you know, you name it. And more of them coming out all the time. What I'm referring to is mostly just your pop music. We'll touch on just about every kind before we're done here tonight. But I want you to know where we're going right off the bat, so there's no, you know, guesswork. My particular conviction is simply this. You expose yourself enough to the popular media, and I don't care what it is. You fill your mind and your life with enough of it. And I don't care who you are, where you've come from, your family background, your intelligence, or whatever, that by that experience all by itself, you are going to be conditioned to an unbelievable extent. That you're going to be molded and manipulated. You are going to be exploited. You will find yourself addicted to one extent or another to this stuff. And it may very well undo all the efforts of yourself and others for any kind of true independence, spirituality, self-esteem, you name it. This stuff has the potential, under the guise of supposedly offering you an exciting diversion and entertainment, etc., but it has the potential to rob you of every real happiness this life has to offer. And I believe it is a powerful tool for the kingdom of darkness and many others to undo a lot of things. Okay? That's just my personal conviction. You check it out as we go along here. By the way, I'm not the only one that believes that. Some of the biggest names in the rock industry openly claim and proclaim that this is what they're trying to do. For example, David Crosby, and this is in there if you guys want to keep flipping around, but otherwise just listen, you can look at all of it later, all right? David Crosby, the group Crosby, Stills, and Nash, you heard of those guys? Here's what he says. I think the thing to do is to swipe kids. And I still think it's the thing to do. But I'm saying this, I'm not talking about kidnapping anybody. I'm just talking about changing their value systems, which will remove them very effectively from their parents' world. You understand what he's saying? In other words, he's out to use his influence, his music, his lyrics, and all that stuff, his lifestyle, his witness, to change what people think is right, wrong, good, bad, true, or false. That's your value system, right? And specifically with a view of altering it from what previous generations have held. For example, your parents. Although, I'd have to say this, gang, that you got to go beyond your parents in most cases, because we are already at least into the third generation of what I would term media-molded society. And when you go to grandma or grandpa, they're the ones that shaking their head and say, I can't believe what's going on in this world. Because you look around now, are there a lot of parents that have never grown up? Are there a lot of parents out there that have gotten into all kinds of drugs? Are there parents out there that cannot maintain a lasting relationship? You better believe it. There are a lot of parents out there that aren't any better off than the kids. Okay? So in that respect, in some ways, the generation gap has shrunk down to a hairline crack. That is actually the title of an article that was published up in Wisconsin in the Milwaukee Journal and the Green Bay Press Gazette. Okay? So that's one. Here's another one. Graham Nash of the same group says this. Pop music is a mass media for conditioning the way people think. You believe it? Hang on. I bet if we're done tonight, you will. Spencer Drysdale, the group Jefferson Starship, says this, and I quote, hit them when they're young and bend their minds. Now, what are you supposed to talk about bending people's minds? Hang on, I'll show you. Anybody heard of Mick Jagger? Rolling Stones? This is what he got to say. He says, we're moving after the minds of young people, and so are most of the new groups. Going after people's minds? Jimi Hendrix, have you ever heard of him? No, of course not. Jimi Hendrix, before he died, of course, was the world's undisputed greatest steel guitarist, right? The man had it. He had it. And I don't care what you see modern days, whether it's Eddie Van Halen blasting away on his guitar, whatever. Whatever they do, these wild runs and leads on these instruments, they learned it from Jimi Hendrix. He started it. He did it. Okay? Jimi Hendrix is dead. You understand that? He overdosed on drugs. Technically, he drowned in a pool of his own vomit. But before he died, this is what he had to say. And I quote, because music is a spiritual thing of its own, you can hypnotize people with music. And when you get them to their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say. Understand what he's saying? Okay, that's where we're going to be going with this very shortly. How many of you heard of the album Frankie Goes to Hollywood? You ever heard of that one yet? Huh? Have you seen the album? Have you guys ever seen the album and actually picked it up and looked at it? Ugh. The back cover of that thing is probably some of the grossest artwork I think I've ever seen unleashed on the public. If you ever get to a Kmart or sometime, you can pick it up and look at it without everybody else staring at you. Do it, okay? You're in for a surprise. Okay, but anyway, it's on the inside that something even more disturbing is to be found. Print on the inside of that, when you break the vinyl, it says this, and I quote, to manipulate children's minds in religion or in politics would raise a storm of outrage, protest, and legislation. But in the field of commerce, children are fair game. Understand what they're saying? What are we talking about here? One word, if you haven't heard of it yet, you really ought to get familiar with. The word is subliminal. You ever heard of that term before? Subliminal technology, subliminal advertising, subliminal persuasion. What it simply boils down to is this. It's throwing a message, a picture, or whatever at you in an unusual way, just different enough so that you miss it consciously, and yet it still has an effect on you. It's still picked up to some extent by this marvelous piece of equipment we call a mind, and it will have some effect. Nobody really seems to know how much subliminal technology affects. There are some amazing claims made for it. It is used extensively throughout our media industry. It's illegal in just about every other civilized, non-communist nation in the world. It has never been, and I'm wondering if it ever will be illegal in the United States. And I mean that because I have personally examined the totality of media law of the United States of America. We've never had one law against it yet. I'm going to be giving you a bunch of examples of this as we go along here. The only limitation this ever had was when the FCC used to threaten licensing withholdings and things like that. And right lately, the FCC itself has sponsored subliminal advertising and things in the media itself. So it's really gone nuts around here, okay? All right, what are we talking about? Let me give you some upfront, not too difficult to see ideas. I'm going to go simply tonight into the audio subliminal technology. I'll maybe mention some of the others in the other media if I get a chance before it's done here. But I just want you to give you some ideas as to one of the reasons why some of this music is so influential, why it becomes so addictive, and why it seems to have such an incredible effect on various people. why they're making so much money from it. Okay? First of all, do you realize when we talk about most of the lyrics to the songs, we're talking about poetry, aren't we? Okay? And for that very reason alone, poetry being what it is, using imagery and rhyming and so forth, it is subject to a variety of interpretations, correct? In fact, in many cases, it actually employs what is called multiple entendre. In other words, it uses words and phrases in such a way that it's guaranteed to be taken in more than one way. You understand what I mean? Now, this is the heart of a lot of country music, isn't it? Huh? I'm not going to go a whole lot into country. That's another whole talk all by itself. But, you know, when you got songs out there like, if I said you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me? Now, you can take that in two ways, can't you? Right? Oh, he just caught on. Sharp man up here in the front row. Yes, sir. Okay, well, anyway, you understand what I mean? Okay, and that's a lot of that. And a lot of the music has that in there, too. But I want you to listen to a couple of cuts here, which involve what is called counterstatement. Okay, where the song seems to be saying one thing, and they will simply introduce a negative element at crucial points, which in effect turns the whole thing around, or at least mixes the message. Okay? What I'm going to play for you now is an old cut by the Beatles. Okay? This is off of the song called Revolution. Now, you got to be careful with subliminals because they don't show up on every single cut of any one song. If you get Revolution on the 45, you aren't going to hear this. If you get Revolution off of the Beatles' greatest hits, you aren't going to hear this. If you get the song Revolution off of their infamous and still biggest-selling white album, you know what I'm talking about? The Beatles album, just a white one, that's all it was. That's where you're going to hear this. If you remember the song Revolution, it was during that time when they were all supposedly anti-war. Remember that? Hey, guys, if you don't know what the Beatles were really all about, then you ought to pick up a book by somebody that was on the inside and got out, like the Marxist Minstrels or The Legacy of John Lennon. You're going to knock your socks off at what those guys were really all about. The drugs, the sex, the whole works, okay? They were not, as their PR portrayed them, you know, nice, scrubbed-up, typical guys, okay? Anyway, you go to that song, and the words seem to be sounding like this. The words go like this. You tell me that it's evolution, right? Remember some of the words? We all want to change the world. Hey, does this world need some changing? You better believe it before it's too late, right? We all want to change the world, but how are you going to do it? By violence or perhaps education, cultural change, you know, diplomacy? But if you're talking about destruction, don't you know you can count me out? Sounds great, doesn't it? Is there too much violence in our world already? Too much hostility? You better believe it, gang. But listen, because he's going to say, don't you know that you can count me out? Now listen when I play it this time, because at that exact point, another voice will interject and say, in. In other words, don't count me out. You count me in on the destruction and violence. Just listen. See what we're talking about. Remember this song? I hear a lot on easy listening stations, you know. And the Red Owl in Surrey, Wisconsin, they play it over there, you know. Okay, here it comes. We all want to change the world. Y'all hear that? Yeah, it's going to be all right, all right. Okay, don't... Now, do you realize how that kind of turns everything around? Okay, now sometimes, and I'd say in most cases, they aren't that blatant and open, okay? More typically, it's just by manipulation of the words themselves, emphasizing certain words or phrases over others, and in some cases, splitting up phrases, you get a mixed or reversed or counter statement. Now, this is on another subject that is really a little bit closer to home to me. The group Queen put out a song that I, you know, on the surface, you would think should be played every afternoon on every radio station across the United States of America. You know why? What happens to be currently the number two killer of American high school students right now? What's number one on college campuses? By the way, even for the high school students, it may be number one, but you know what happens there? Who wants to admit that their kid blew themselves away? Okay? And how many of those, quote, accidents were nothing but well-arranged suicides, right? Any way you look at it, we have an absolute epidemic on our hands of proportions that have probably never been seen in any culture in the history of the world, correct? When you're talking about the figures, we're talking about America. It is staggering. And the group Queen put out a song called Don't Try Suicide. Sounds great, doesn't it? Not so fast, gang. I want you to listen to one portion of it here, where first of all they go into this chant, and the chant goes, suicide, suicide, suicide bid. Suicide, suicide, suicide bid. You know what a suicide bid is? That's an attempt, isn't it? I'm like, do it, baby, try it, you know what I mean? Okay, that's bad enough, but then it goes in this part, which sounds better. It says, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't. Don't do it, don't do it, don't. Then they pause, and then they all yell, do it. See what I'm talking about? Listen, you see what I'm saying? Courtesy of Queen. Okay, do you hear what I'm getting at here? Calm down, boys. The reason why I say that and why this came to the surface is because the first time I heard that song, that really bothered me. It maybe wouldn't bother anybody else or most other people, but it did me, because you know why? You're looking at a guy that nearly committed suicide once, okay? And I have taken this to psych professors and psychiatrists and counselors and numerous pastors, and you know what every last one of them have said? Ooh, I don't like that. You know why they don't like that? Just try to imagine yourself. You've never been in that condition yet, but you were depressed. You have lost your self-esteem. Maybe you've made a mess out of your life, and you were thinking about ending it all, stopping the pain by ending your life. What are you going to hear out of that song? Do it. And by the way, it's a little worse than that because, you know, they did, at least were nice enough to print the words on the inside. Do you know how this song ends? Listen to this. And just try to put yourself in a position of somebody contemplating suicide. It goes like this. It says, the end of this song ends, plus a lot of dirty stuff in between, but the last phrases go, nobody gives, nobody gives, nobody gives a damn. Do you think it's helpful to tell somebody who's maybe thinking of killing themselves, maybe they feel like they're no good to anybody else, the world would be better off without them, telling them that nobody even cares? Is that constructive? You better believe it isn't. Okay, and by the way, that isn't all. You know, some of these others, and you got the sheets right there with you, you get to some of these other groups which are even more blatant about it. You've heard about some of these things. You get to your back pages there, and you have some of these, just the lyrics to songs printed out. Okay, one, for example, has gotten Ozzy Osbourne in and out of court. It's his song, Suicide Solution. Okay, now Ozzy claims that this song, which of course was written in memory of Mr. Bon Scott, formerly a member of the group AC/DC, okay? And he died on an overdose of drugs, alcohol, anti-alcohol pills, and everything else. He was just loaded with everything, okay? And so what he says, the solution I'm talking about here is not a way to solve a problem, but it's alcohol, see? And it'll cause suicide, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's really nice, except look at the words, and here's what it says. He says it's life-affirming. You lie on your bed, you rest your head, but you lie there and moan inside. Where to hide? Suicide is the only way out. Don't you know what it's all about? Gang, I don't care if every other syllable of this song says, don't do it, stay away from suicide. If somebody's contemplating and they're depressed, what are they going to pick out of this song and not even hear anything else? You understand? And some of the others are even worse. You get down here, some of these groups like Suicidal Tendencies, and it gets absolutely unbelievable. Down towards the bottom of your page, look at that. Suicide's an alternative, you'll be sorry. Look at some of these. Ooh, Memories of Tomorrow by Suicide. Just read them through on your own time and you'll see what I'm talking about. Do you think this is a part of the solution or part of the problem? And by the way, for your information, I may say this is just social commentary and that sort of thing. You know what a problem is with especially something like suicide? They have discovered that the more you dwell on the subject, what happens? The more it happens. Do you realize that they had a ban in parts of England, I don't know if it's still on now, but I know it was a while back, a couple of years ago, a ban on the reporting of suicides in the major cities. Because the more they even reported it, the more it took place. And you hear about that in America too, haven't you? They have deliberately underreported some of these things because the more people talk about it, the more kids go out and do it. And they have these piggyback suicides, one after another. And a whole town, all of a sudden, you got kids dropping off like flies. You understand what I'm saying? Dwelling on it. You would think that somebody around here would start exercising a little restraint. There are lots of other things you can sing about and talk about in music and the media. You don't have to dwell on these things, but are they? Are they backing off on these subjects? Not at all. Okay, so that's one. Let's go on to some others. And here's another technique, which is just simply, I call it cover-up. All right, now, you understand that when they cut an album or a song, you know, when it's stereo, multi-track recording, they generally do not take the whole group, put them in a room, hand them their instruments, turn on the mics, turn on the recorders, and go, one, two, three, and start jamming out a song. What they do is take as few as one member of the band all by himself in a specially designed room. It's acoustically dead. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know if you've ever gotten right here, but maybe when you were in high school and college, you know, they had those rooms where, off of the band room, it'd be a little bitty room with acoustical tile all over it, you know, big, thick door, and, you know, and they'd put you in there and you'd practice, and they'd slam the door and listen to all that racket when you're practicing, right? Okay? Only in these rooms, which are acoustically dead, no outside echo, no internal, you know, no noises of any sort, they have built-in recording devices, microphones, built-in metronomes, and light indicators. So the guy sits down there, waits, the light goes on, he does his thing all by himself. Just plays away like he's in a concert. The light goes on, he quits, gets up and walks out. Now, they just recorded what he did under a perfect recording environment, right? They got that on one track of a rather wide piece of magnetic tape. And, you know, they have control over that one track, too, don't they? They can raise the volume on that particular track. They can emphasize, you know, like, tone. They can run it through an equalizer and pick out just the harmonics off of those strings, whatever they want. Next guy gets up. He may even get in the same room, but whatever room he's going to be, it's going to be connected to the same recording device. But before he does anything else, he's going to put on headphones. You know what he's going to do? He's going to listen to what another guy just did. And just like in a concert, when it's his time to jump in there, boom, he starts playing along with it. And they record that on the next track. Now, at this point, you have two recordings totally in sync, right? And yet entirely separate and separately controllable. And then piece by piece by piece, they put these songs together. By the way, it doesn't have to be different people. You've all heard of Prince? Prince, on his first three albums, did all the instrumentals and all the vocals all by himself. One-man band just went back and recorded another piece and added that on. You understand what I'm saying? You've heard lots of songs where the lead singer is singing their own harmony in the background, right? That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so the point is this, gang. They have absolute control over even the smallest element in that song. Have any of you ever had any trouble understanding some of the words to the songs you listen to? Anybody? I got news for you, gang. You getting the picture? That's deliberate. If they wanted you to hear those words, they would simply raise that track with the voice on it, lower the rest down, and that would slap you in the face. You couldn't miss those words if you tried, right? And if they don't want you to hear the words, at least not the first time you go through the song, then they simply lower the vocals, raise the instrumentals, and they can cover up those words in about a dozen different ways, so you're not quite sure what they're singing at different points the first time you hear it. Have you ever had the experience where you listen to a song 8, 10, 12 times, little by little the words come through? Huh? I had an experience a while back. I was listening to a song, and it must have been about a dozen or 13, 14 times, you know. And I go, oh, hey, man, now I know what those guys are singing. Yeah. Ooh, that's gross. But it's too late. Too late for two reasons, guys. Number one, if I'd have known what that song was about, right? Like a lot of kids out here. If I'd already known what they were singing and what they were saying, hey, I'm not into that junk, man. I don't need that. I wouldn't buy that album. Too late for a bigger reason is, believe it or not, you actually heard it. Your mind recorded it perfectly the very first time you heard that song, and it had some kind of an impact or influence on you every single time thereafter, whether you could consciously grasp what they were saying or not. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. True? We are just beginning to discover how incredibly true that is. Because what you don't realize is that, first of all, you have a marvelous microprocessor right here in the middle of this thing, although some of you obviously are missing a chip. And on all of your body, this side and here and there, you have all these incredible recording devices, right, that pick up everything. Do you realize that your mind has recorded every single conversation, every single sound that even came within earshot of you? It is all perfectly recorded right here. Everything you have ever seen is right here. Now, 99% of that, it goes into file 13, doesn't it? Because it's not significant to you. But it's all going in there. All right? Now, keep that in mind as we go through some of these things. Some of you that's had kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. Okay, mama, especially at this stage of the game, here you are living in this little rat's nest apartment off the edge of campus, you know. And of course, the guy next door, he just bought himself a $1,000 stereo system that he uses to, you know, blow out the back wall every night. And of course, the cars are out here and the jet's going overhead. And you are dead tired at the end of the day because you're, of course, working extra hours to put this clown through. And so you crash into bed at the end of the night, and you are dead meat, and you're just woof out. And the whole rest of the world could go by. And that little baby, you know, of course, is on the other side of one of your kids who's got the TV going, and the other one fighting with his sister, you know. And the baby's beyond that. And in the middle of the night, with all that racket going on, and you're dead tired and sound asleep, if that little one just makes a slightly unusual sound, boom, you are wide awake. Something's wrong with the baby, right? Do you realize your mind is never totally shut off? Even under certain circumstances of comatose, that is true. Okay? So whatever you're exposing yourself to, directly or indirectly, can, and I believe always does, have some kind of an impact on you. You might look at some of those scriptures that talk about fleeing temptation and so forth a little more seriously. Okay? And especially like Philippians 4:8, right? Whatsoever is good, right, beautiful, virtue, fill your mind with these things. Okay, so here we go. Cover up. Any of you guys got the Beatles' greatest hits? You got the song I Am the Walrus. Anybody got it? Huh? Okay, you all run over to his place tonight, and here's what you do. Because half of the recording is in the bass range and half is in the treble, right? Okay, what you want to do at the end of that song goes absolutely nuts, doesn't it? I mean, they start talking, other music starts up, blah, blah, blah. It's a cacophony, a racket. You turn off the bass entirely, turn the treble up full blast, because the human voice is in the upper range, isn't it? If you've got an equalizer, then turn on the top two bands, shut off the rest. If you've got 10 bands on each channel, go nuts. Okay, well, anyway, what you want to do is emphasize only the upper frequencies. And listen in that song one more time. I'm going to play it for you right now. You go home and check it out for yourself, and I'll take my word for it. And just listen for them with a neat little chant in the background over and over. Smoke pot, everybody smoke pot. Here we go. By the way, you aren't going to understand what this song is talking about unless you, first of all, know some drug terms and some mysticism, some language about mysticism. Here we go. You don't hear that? I got this album. I listened to this song dozens of times, and I never knew that was in there until I read about it in a very interesting book we're going to talk about a little later, and I went back and checked it out. Friends, I think that's absolutely dirty. Do we have a problem with drugs in America? In spite of the fact that our kids know more about the dangers of drug, and they've been preached more against drug use than probably any other generation that's ever existed on the face of the earth, and yet they're still doing it, aren't they? You got to come up with another explanation, okay? And I have a principle that I live with, and I recommend it to you now, and it goes simply like this, gang. I don't want nobody messing with my head without me knowing it. Amen? I would also like to extend that to my family and my friends. Okay? I could go on and on about this tonight, but let's keep going on to another one, all right? And by the way, this kind of stuff is everywhere. If you're familiar with Van Halen's latest album, 5150, it's all through the background there. You got Pet Shop Boys, their latest one out, It's a Sin, it's all in the background there. Duran Duran's got it all through the back of their one, the Chauffeur, off of their Rio album. I mean, hey, if you guys start looking for this stuff, if you start listening to the music carefully, you're going to hear this all over the place. You cannot believe how much of this is going on in the popular media. You will after tonight, because you're going to hear it from now on. Okay, here's one, another one. And ordinarily, you can't uncover this stuff. I mean, I've taken some of those, and I've got a record. I've got WRBM Christian Radio Station, their entire facility is at my disposal anytime I want it. And I can't uncover it with all their equipment. Some of this stuff has been deliberately matched, covered up, same frequency, same decibel. You understand what I mean? And unless you have the original, I don't know how you're going to uncover it. But you can hear it. It's there. Okay, let me give you another example of one where you can uncover it. How many of you have ever gotten a hold of Kenny Loggins' tape Footloose from the movie? Anybody got that one? Okay. Did you catch that at the beginning of Footloose? His? No. Okay, you go home tonight, and here's what you got to do. Be ready. First of all, it's very, very soft right before that song begins. It's right at the beginning of it. Okay, Footloose? You know. And what you do is, first of all, turn your stereo up full blast, but keep your hand on the knob. Okay? And be ready for it. And what you're going to hear just before the regular song starts is going to be something like this. It's going to go, ba-boop, ba-da, 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 and then it goes, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. So, you know, better turn it down pretty quick. You know what I mean? All right. Now, just to understand some of these things, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. And some of this is hidden pretty softly. One that's a little easier for you to get a hold of, and I'll do about that one some more, because not only is that covered and hidden by that way by volume, but it's also reversed. But hang on. Who's got Come On, Feel the Noise? Quiet Riot. Who's got it? Anybody got it? You got it? Okay. What you want to do with this one, and that's a concert cut, isn't it? Okay. Now, you got to realize that at a concert cut, they just can't cover things up quite as well. They took that raw material back to a studio, and engineers and technicians went over it like you wouldn't believe. It's amazing what they can do with audio electronics nowadays. But what you do with that one is the same thing. Turn off the bass, turn up the treble, and bias your speakers a little bit to the left channel. Because what you want to pick up is the backup vocals. Because the lead singer is going to sing that wonderful chorus of theirs. Come on, feel the noise. That's spelled C-U-M, right? That's not bad spelling. That's human sperm. Okay, it's slang, right? Come on, feel the noise. Girls, rock your boys. Now, rock's another one of those terms, isn't it? Rock and roll, before it became popular to apply to this music, before a DJ, you know, named Friedman over in Detroit, you know, picked it up and used it for this, It meant to have sex with a prostitute. And you still have lots of other slang terms that come from it, like rocks, male testicles. So when Dr. Hook sings, "I get my rocks off," or Black Sabbath sings, "rocks off," or this 4x4 runs down the street and it says, got a bumper sticker that says, "I get my rocks off the road." You know what they're talking about? Male testicles, right? Okay, well, anyway, good stuff here. What you want to do is you play that song one more time and listen, because the lead singer is going to sing, "Girls, rock your boys." But one by one, the backup vocalists are going to sing another four-letter word, a cute little one that begins with an F. You know what I'm talking about? Listen. And by the way, don't listen too hard. You got to realize that your mind is always functioning to sort out the stuff that's being thrown out. It's got like an automatic fine-tuning device. And if you listen too hard, your mind is going to automatically focus in on the clear words of the lead singer, and you're going to miss the other. Just relax. Don't even try to hear it, per se, and you'll pick it up just fine. Okay? The first time they go through this little line, only one of the backup vocalists will sing it, and the second time through, two of them do. Here we go. Balance. There we go. That's with one singing it. Now you get wild, all right. You hear that? Okay. By the way, with many of these songs, if you catch it off the radio, you're not going to hear this because they use edited versions for most radio programs. Did you know that? I mean that. When these guys did this song as a lead-in act to Black Sabbath in the Brown County Arena, Green Bay, Wisconsin, 2 years ago, some friends of mine were in the audience. They're from an organization called Solid Rock Ministries, ex-junkies, prostitutes, homosexuals, okay, who've been given a new life by no one less than Jesus Christ. They make it their point to go out and try to get people for Jesus that nobody else even tries, okay? They're going on the streets, going after the homosexuals and the prostitutes and the pimps and the druggies, right? They were in that theater. They go to a lot of rock concerts and hand out tracts. They pray. They went and escorted kids being hauled out that night. There was 15 ambulance runs to the arena that night hauling kids away, okay? What goes on in these concerts, you would not believe, okay? They were there. In fact, a friend of mine, Bob Lenz, who is the director of Solid Rock Ministries, was right in the concert when they sang this song at the Brown County Arena. He wrote a letter that was published in the Green Bay Press Gazette thereafter. At one point when they did this song at the Brown County, none of them sang the word rock. You get my drift? You think this is a part of the solution or part of the problem? You think this stuff is neutral, isn't affecting anybody? Come on. We go on. Into another kind of thing they do. And another one is where they use messages worked into the music at different speeds. Sound incredible? Let me give an example of it first, and I'll give you some of the explanation and research as to how and why it evidently works. I'm going to play you a song by the group Cheap Trick. More slang, right? You know what Cheap Trick is? Okay, well, anyway. and I want you to listen to this, and in between the bonk, bonk, bonk of the music and the beat, you're going to hear what's going to sound like birds chirping real high and real faint. It's going to be like that kind of stuff, okay? Listen carefully. If need be, we'll do this more than once. Just so you can hear it. Here we go. Y'all hear that? Who heard it? Raise your hand. Wait a minute. Who didn't hear it? Raise your hand. I told you guys shouldn't sit back over there. Get over here. Okay? By the way, some of you, I don't care if you're right in front of these speakers, you aren't going to hear it. You aren't going to hear it no matter what we do, because you've lost the ability. I don't know about some of you. That may or may not be true. OSHA, the Federal Government Safety Standards Organization, will not allow any human being in the workforce to be exposed to more than 85 decibels of sound in any one work day. Correct? Why? Because after even one day, you can prove permanent, irreparable hearing loss, specifically in the upper range. That's where it starts and works its way down. Guys, if you've been around chainsaws or whatever, or if you like cranking it up in your room, you may never be able to hear this. And it'll probably get worse as you get older, okay? Hey, if nothing else, taking care of your temple, turn it down. Moderation, right? Okay? All right, but here we go. I'll try one more time for you birds. Come on, scoot over here. Get over here at least behind or something. One more.
Rewind. Let's see how fast this thing goes. Woo! Moves fast.
Here we go. Pretty delicate, isn't it? Okay, We're going to take that same piece now and slow it down. Are you ready for this? 8 times. The bonk, bonk, bonk is now going to be more like mow, mow. Okay, and kids, I'm going to ask you to do exactly what you do to your parents all the time. Ignore that noise, okay? And I want you to listen for a voice, male voice, pitched right about here. Ham, gama, gama, hama, gama, gama, lama, gama, gama, lama. Okay? And this is a somewhat religious group here tonight. Okay, well, if you can pick out even a couple of the words, you're going to know exactly what they're saying. Here we go. Am I making out? What's he saying? The Lord's Prayer. One more time. Listen to it.
Stop this thing. Woo, does it go fast?
Listen up. I'll mouth it. Y'all catch that now? Good. This group isn't as slow as they look. Okay, hey, let me ask you something. I've said this in high schools and prisons and jails and YMCAs and churches and all across the Midwest with some of the most ardent Cheap Trick fans the world's ever known. And I have never had one of them argue with me yet. My contention is Cheap Trick is not a Christian rock group. So what's it doing in there? I think the label I put on it, you come to your own conclusions. I labeled this and a whole lot more we're going to see tonight, one thing: mockery. And not mocking just anybody, gang. Only one person and everything he stands for. Keep that in mind, okay? Yeah. Yeah, the regular part. In fact, you know, how does it says, well, I can't remember words before that, but yeah, you know, and that kind of has some implications too. You know, what is it that somebody's saying that scares their friends? Are you witnessing to Christ? Does that turn people off? You better believe it. Okay, so I'm saying, I don't know if there's a direct tie-in or not, but I thought of that too. That occurred to me that maybe even the lyrics and then superimposing this in a mocking way is almost like adding to it, isn't it? It's like, you and your Jesus, keep your mouth shut around my friends. I don't want to hear about that religion. See what I mean? And by the way, you probably went, hold on, dude, hold it, hold it, hold it. Okay, maybe a counterstatement in there. I can understand how that might kind of mess up my head a little bit and get maybe the messages turned around a little, and maybe something covered up. All right, but 8 times the speed of speech? Come on, man. My brain's in neutral most of the time. How's that going to affect me, right? Wrong. You may not realize it, dear friends, but we cannot calculate the speed of the mind. I mean that. More things are going on simultaneously within your brain in a nanosecond, processing information at incredible volumes, at unbelievable speeds. We can't even count it. You see this in a lot of things, because, you know, let's say this. All right, you've been given the assignment. The prof gave you the assignment. All right, you've got till tomorrow night to write a 10,000-word essay on, you know, how great your professor is, okay? And so here you are, like everybody else, you know, just before bed writing this thing out, right? Now, you have put in a full day's work. You've been frying your brain all week anyway, and you're tired and sick, and you got the flu, and so now you're going to try to write this thing. Now, under those circumstances, when you try to write something out, whether it's a letter or whatever, have you ever noticed this phenomena? We can write out the sentence, for example, I think my professor is the most intelligent man in the world. So you start writing out, I think my professor is the most... What do you keep doing? Keep writing words ahead of where they belong. Now, you would think under conditions of fatigue, okay, it would be the other way around. Same thing with talking, right? Hey, I know especially teenage girls. Some of you got some teenage girls, you know, and when they're in the teenage years, what? They're all skinning phones, right? And they get on this thing, and they're going on for about an hour, and after so long, their brains just kind of turn into jello, and they're, you know, and you keep tripping over your words ahead of where they belong, not behind. Do you realize that everything that comes out of your head, every syllable that comes out of your mouth has been processed who knows how many times before it finally spits out? And do you realize that if you could shove it into your head faster, you'd learn it quicker? Remember when you learned how to read? Remember in the beginning, the book? See, spot, run, run, spot, run, run, run. Heavy stuff. Remember those days, huh? And you get to about the third grade, and they start getting on your case. They say, hey, come on, kid, you sound like Mr. Machine. I mean, you got to speed it up. It's got to sound like you talk, and get your finger out of that page anyway. Oh, and I remember this. I thought, oh, no, now they're going to find out how incredibly stupid I really am. See, spot, run. Run, spot. Run, run, run. You know what impressed me? It seemed the faster I read it, the more easily I understood it, and the better I remembered it. Doesn't make any sense at all. Ordinarily, when I speed something up, I just mess it up better, right? And then you get to junior high, and they get on you some more. Listen, kid, if you're going to live through high school and senior year with all those heavy-duty books and papers, you got to read faster than that, man. Get down to that reading lab. So you go down there, and I don't know what you do, you guys, but they put me in front of a tachoscope. It's like a TV screen, and they flash the words on the thing. And you kind of follow them along like a rabbit, and then they turn the knob, and they flash a little faster, and you chase them a little more, and they turn them on some more. Ah! And I thought, here goes my entire educational career, right down the tubes. I read an awful lot. I don't think, you know, I don't know, I'm sure some of you people are that kind of thing, too, but I go through tons of reading all the time. You know, 6 different magazines, 3 different journals, newspapers every night, and tons of books, right? I love to read, and you can't do that unless you're reading at least 7 times the speed of speech, like I do, okay? And have you ever heard of Evelyn Wood's reading dynamics courses? Those super speed reading courses? I saw that one day on television. It was a kind of a commercial with Art Linkletter, you know. And he's standing up there, and he has this kid, looks like some of you guys, right? You know, standing up there, and he says, okay, Jimmy, show us what you can do, you know. And he pulls out an encyclopedia volume, looked like Britannica, so just open it up and said, I'll read for it, son. And this kid's standing up there reading while he's jabbering on about Evelyn Woods, you know. This local, you know, down at your local Holiday Inn for a nominal fee of $50,000, you know. And so anyway, this kid's reading, and he's going like this. No, come on, he ain't really reading that. Give me a break. And he says, all right, Jimmy, tell us what you read. And away he went. He was rattling off facts, statistics, dates, almost a verbatim account of what was on those pages. Some of you ever taught Sunday school, the little ones, huh? You know what I'm talking about? You tell them that story, I don't care if it's Samson and Delilah, you know, Goliath and all this kind of stuff. And you come back a week later, okay, which of you can tell me the story we had last week? And those little monkeys will spit it back to you almost identically, even with your inflections, the way you gave it to him last week. We all start out with photographic memory. Do you understand that? We lose it as other processes or forms, like adding peripherals on a computer, right? And in this analogy, it works out in 2 ways. Number one, the more peripherals you got on, the more you got to go through to get it back to the main core memory and back out, and the more chances of being lost along the way, right? Especially if you got cheap equipment like I got. Likewise, the more you segment, break up, and slowly put in the data, like one syllable, you know, or a couple of letters, and then enter, and another couple of letters, and enter, you know what I mean? You're asking for more memory to be involved and more likelihood of being confused, disjointed, or lost, right? Whereas if you put it all in one and store it all at once, it's there intact. Same thing with the human mind. Some of you guys need all the help you can get. And they have known for years that if you can just shove it into your brain faster, you'll catch it quicker, better, and remember it better. Here are, for example, in many catalogs, tape players that will accelerate whatever you put into it without distortion. And especially on just rote cognizant learning, you know, vocabulary words, mathematics tables, you know, that kind of stuff, just the garbage that you got to memorize, that you can increase your efficiency tremendously by just accelerating it with equipment like this. Linguistics and things like that are especially effective.
Yeah, hey man, I want one of those. Yeah, I can't even get through exegesis here. Okay, well anyway. So,
you know, when they accelerate this stuff, don't kid yourself. It doesn't have an effect on you. I have kids all the time telling me, hey, man, I use this stuff all the time. And it's not affecting me, affecting me, affecting me. Come on, you know. Right. Okay, that's speed masking and some of the reasons and why it works. It's more effective. This is more effective on you than if it's slower. If the words are blatantly gross, whatever, pushing something. And, of course, you don't catch it. You will now. Yes, sir. I know your lies is the actual, where does it say? I know your lies. Kind of a put down, right? Okay, hang on. You'll see a lot more of that before we're done here tonight. How about another one? Another way they do this, of course, is putting things in backwards. Now, that seems the most incredible, right? Let me give you some examples of it so there's no doubt they're doing it. And then I'll try to give you some of the possible explanations. Here we go. This one, for example, is by the group ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. Okay? It's off of their album Paradise. It's connection with the song Empty Spaces. ULO fans will know right where this one is. Here we go. This is actually forwards on the album. This is exactly here if you play it off the tape or album. Just listen to backwards. Is there any doubt that's backwards? I'm going to turn it around now for you. Listen to it, you can make out most of the words. This is now reversed, but of course it's fourth. Get it? Music is reversible, but time is not. Turn back, turn back. By the way, you know, these guys put out a lot of music along this line. One of their other albums was called Secret Messages. Remember that one? When that was released overseas, they would not allow it to be sold, reproduced, or marketed without, first of all, a warning label right on the album, which says, and I quote, "Warning, this contains hidden messages." CBS Records distributed this in the United States. They would not allow this album to be reproduced and sold in the United States until that warning was removed. Welcome to the USA, gang. Now, how does that affect anybody? I got news for you, gang. If you haven't noticed it yet, forwards and backwards means absolutely nothing to your incredible piece of equipment we call the brain. You are constantly perceiving things backwards. Do you know that? Right now, the light rays coming off of these illuminators are bouncing off of my body and going through two convex lenses in each of your eyes. You know what happens to every image that goes through a convex lens? It is inverted and reversed three-dimensionally. So as you see me standing up here right now, I'm actually on my head, and as I move my hand this way, it's going the other way. Neat trick, huh? And by the way, you don't even see pictures. Unless you've studied the psychophysiology of the eye and perceptions, you wouldn't realize how this works. The back of your eye is a curved surface. The image is not focused. Furthermore, it's pitted, and some cells in a virtually random pattern pick up, for example, one color or another color, light, motion, tones, darkness, all this kind of stuff. Immediately breaks that into electrical impulses, doesn't it? Sends it back across maybe one or two synapses, which is a chemical, you know, gap, and then back into electrical impulse. That information is sent to at least three different areas of your brain and cross-referenced simultaneously in a nanosecond. Every possible combination of all those little bits and pieces of light, darkness, motion, shade, and whatever are combined and recombined, and the one that makes the most sense to you, the one that you maybe are the most familiar with, the patterns and so forth, or maybe what you're most looking for, will become what you think you see even if it isn't even out there. That is the principle behind every optical illusion. And by the way, you can interfere with that. People who've had drug experiences know real quick that chemically you can reproduce visual experiences. And when you go to these concerts with all these incredible light shows, those are specifically designed for people who've got experience with drugs. Otherwise, nobody else would even appreciate what all going on up there. And boy, when you're high and you're at those concerts and all that stuff's going on with the music and everything else, it does stuff in your head you would not believe. A lot of this stuff here in the music, like I've been showing you here tonight, is perfectly, readily, and easily perceived under an altered state of consciousness. That's why guys like Charles Manson picked it out without any problem and actually did it. Okay? So, I could give you lots of other examples here, but let's quit here. There's so many of these others. I mentioned Kenny Loggins. If you want to do that one yourself, people say, how can I turn it around? I mean, I don't have a recording studio and all this mono track recorders and all that kind of stuff. How do I do it? Well, I'll tell you how to do, gang. You got your little cassette here? All right, let's say that first part just went by, right? And you listen to Kenny Loggins and it just went blip, blip, blip. Stop it. Now you know it's right here on this spool. Just went by. So don't let this one turn and go. There it is in the loop. Now you know you got it right there, right? You lay this baby down on a table nice and flat. You take out your scissors and go snip, snip. Take that loop. Keep everything else exactly as it is. Turn the loop over because you realize on every cassette, one is recorded this way and one's recorded that way. So if you flip the whole thing over, you just get it forward the other direction. But when you reverse the loop in the cassette, you have now reversed that recording. Put a little piece of tape, scotch tape, only one layer thick on the inside. Trim off the excess. You have successfully spliced those together. Rewinder back on there. Rewinder player one more time, and it's forward. Now, that one with Kenny Loggins, and by the way, some of this stuff has absolutely nothing to do with the music. Okay? You listen to that one. You're going to hear it forwards. What does he say? Don't let them see you bury your dead. No, nobody look. What's that got to do with anything? You know, like that whole movie and the song is all about, you know, breaking out of your religion and doing your own thing, right? Forgetting the rules that you learned in church. Remember that? No, the whole movie and the song is all about that, isn't it? Okay? So, it may not. And by the way, subliminals can have significant commercial value even if they don't make any sense whatsoever. You ever had a song that you listened to it maybe the first or second time? And maybe the first time you heard it, think, man, that's trash. If I never hear that baby again, as long as I live, that will be just fine. But almost from the beginning, stuck. And I kept hearing it over and over again. And the more you tried to forget that dumb song, the more it stuck. And you go, get it out of there! You know, I got two ways to defeat it, if you want to know. Because why? Why? What is at least one possible reason why it's sticking in your head? Echo effect, right? There's something wrong with the song, and your subconscious mind latches onto it, won't let go. This is the principle behind most of your subliminals in your magazine articles, okay? Like where they, oh, I got tons of these, okay? I love giving this to the ladies group because I pick out like Women's Day magazine, you know, get the guys popular science, popular mechanics. Well, they will put something in that picture that just is wrong. Okay, I got one, for example, it's a cigarette job. And here's the big macho. He's got his foot up on the tractor. He's got his hat pulled over and a cigarette sticking out of his mouth. And as soon as you look at that thing, you go, why does that stick in my head? What's wrong with that picture? If you study it carefully, first of all, there's absolutely nothing holding that cigarette in his mouth. It's just sitting there. It wasn't in the original picture. They drew it in later. All the shadows in that picture go one way because the sun's up here, except the one come off the cigarette. That one goes that way. Sticks. Sticks right there, okay? And this kind of stuff, where they put junk in the ice cubes, eyes, heads, skulls in the liquids and what have you. I have personally spent about 2 hours with a guy that was a technical brush-up man up in Pound, Wisconsin. It was his job to take these pictures and lighten up this junk they had in there so it just wasn't obvious, so you couldn't see it unless you studied it carefully. Okay? Something wrong with the music? Sticks in your head. Now, to defeat it, here's what you do. One of two things. Either go to sleep, assuming you can. Okay? But then be careful, because when you wake up again, usually within an hour or sometimes even as long as 2 hours later, if any little thing at all happens to remind you of that song, there it is again. Ah! You know what I mean? And you're stuck with it some more. A more effective way is, as you were suggesting, displace it with a similar sensory experience of a different character, another song, something else, so that your mind will find it. Because your mind's going to hang on to it. There's something wrong with that song, and it's struggling to sort it out. Understand? Now, you see the commercial value then? It sticks in your head over and over. And I remember lots of songs that when I first heard them, I didn't care for them at all. But after a couple weeks, I was buying them up just like everybody else, and all my friends are just like everybody else. Okay? So, for what it's worth, and there may be others. Let me give you one last one here, and this is by Prince. This is off his album Purple Rain. Okay? And this one's interesting. It's all in connection with the song Darling Nikki. You got the words in there. Read it for yourself. Pretty sick stuff. But that's Prince for you. Okay? And here it is. The words you're going to hear this, and I've just turned it around for you. I'm not going to play the backwards, but if you got the album, how many of you got it? How many got Purple Rain? Anybody can get a hold of it or see it? No? No Prince fans in here? Amazing. Well, anyway, you can hear it there, but you turn that one around, and he goes like this. Hello, how are you? And you're going to like this. I'm fine, because I know that the Lord is coming. Ooh, someday, someday. Ooh, come, 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 come. Cute, huh? Is Prince a Christian? Is he talking about the same Lord that I think you and I know? Okay, let's move on. that's just some of the stuff going on. By the way, I mentioned movies. Just let me say in passing the techniques they use there. One, the most outstanding, is you got to realize that. Let me see a motion picture. You're actually seeing lots of little still pictures. You ever seen a film, you know? It's, you know, the hand's here, the next one, the hand's there, and the next one's there, and there, and there, and there, and they whip through so fast that it all blends. It has to be 60 fields per second before it becomes subliminal, before your mind stops seeing individual pictures and it becomes motion. That means that each one of those little squares is on that screen only 1/60th of a second. Now, what they started doing back in the 50s, this has been around a while, gang, they would take just one of those little squares and put something else in there, and nobody ever saw it. For example, in the theaters, in the middle of the intermission, it could be anything. It could be Clint Eastwood punching out his orangutan or something, right? And all of a sudden, they take one of those little squares right in the middle of there, no matter what else was going on, and flash, a big bottle of Coke. 30 seconds later, flash, another one. 30 seconds later, flash. Now, nobody in the whole place sees the Coke. Nobody says, hey, man, it's a bottle. Oh, there's a Coke. You know, just all over the place. You know what happened? Hey, man, I'm thirsty. Yeah, me too. I'm getting a Coke. Get one for me, too. We have at least 15 bona fide corporations that do nothing but produce subliminals for the media industry in the United States of America today. They have copyrights, they have patents, there's nothing illegal about it. Every last one of them guarantees at least 80% increase in sales. Nobody knows how effective this stuff is. Nobody knows how much of its effect is positive or negative, no matter what they're saying. Nobody knows the overall and long-term effects on learning, mental stability, or you name it. And nobody's telling either, and they aren't trying to find out, because I suspect they already know. In Belgium, you can get prison terms and thousands of franc fines for any message that can be discerned consciously or not. There's nothing like that in this country. And by the way, they have laws against it in England. But where's some of this stuff coming from? Are they enforcing the laws over there? Okay, by the way, I've already done you folks a great service tonight, whether you know it or not. Every piece and scrap of research I've ever seen on this subject says one thing. As soon as people become aware of its presence, as soon as people have it pointed out to them, the effect of subliminals decreases tremendously. You're welcome. Okay, let's go on to something else now. Let's go to our slides. I need a projectionist. Somebody going to be a projectionist here? Come here, guy. You're terrific for this job. They say a great Q baboon can operate this thing. Here's the control. All you got to do with this thing is just press it down just slightly and a little bit, and that'll advance it. Wait till I tell you to. Okay, here's a book that I recommend to all of you would-be pastors, teachers, professors, and whatever. Don't give it to your little brothers and sisters because it's got every dirty word in the world in it, okay? But it's slang and euphemism of the English language. It documents the meaning of a lot of these terms, drug terms, gay terms, sex terms, all this stuff. Documents it, explains its meaning, and it not only gives you American slang, but it also gives you slang for the entire English-speaking world. That means the slang they use up in Canada, in Great Britain, New Zealand, Australia, parts of Africa. You understand what I mean? And that's very helpful. Okay, because we touched on drugs before, but let's just, for example, without a book like this, I'd never know that, for example, a cover-up slang term for LSD, lysergic acid, is to this day in the British Isles, Lucy in the Skies with Diamonds. Do you guys remember that song? Now, if you couldn't tell it was a drug song in the first place, but you might as well at least know what the term means. What is slang term for cocaine? Anybody know some of those? Snow. Okay, so when Styx puts out a song, Snowblind, Black Sabbath, Greatest Hits Volume 3 has Snowblind on there. When you pick up books on the shelves, Snowblind, okay, and all these songs have Snowblind in there, they aren't talking about, you know, out in the slopes of Colorado. They're talking about being high on cocaine. They're drug songs, okay? And lots of others. I give you many examples. We'll touch on some more. But all these terms I've been giving you tonight, look them up for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Then you can argue with this, okay? Next, please. And you aren't going to understand a lot of these songs unless you know these terms. Here's just some of the books on subliminal technology. Again, don't take my word for it. You guys all ought to read up on it. Every American ought to read up on it. You pick up anything by Wilson Bryan Key or Vance Packard or a lot of these others, Battle for the Mind, you name it. You just get to a secular bookstore and ask for something on subliminal technology. Use that word, and they will bury you in books. Next, please. This is probably the scariest stuff. Well, here we go. Look at this. There's no doubt it works. This is amazing, but look at this. University of Michigan, New York University, Brooklyn, I mean, major universities all around the world are given free money to come up with new subliminal techniques. Guess who's paying the bills? Next. Guess who they're using it on? You can buy it and use it on yourself, gang. Isn't that wonderful? Help you to stop smoking and all this stuff. Let me say something about this real quickly. Number one, it's not all it's cracked up to be in the first place. This is in the same category with hypnosis. It does not solve problems. It displaces them. By saying that, for example, let's say, you know, there's always reasons behind the bizarre and the obsessive behaviors we do, correct? All right, some of you guys are obviously married to the Wicked Witch of the West. Some of you guys are working for the Ayatollah Khomeini. Some of you women are married to Jack the Ripper. Now, these circumstances cause stress in your life. We have to put up with these idiots, right? And because of that reason, you can have all kinds of anxiety. If you do not deal with stress and anxiety in a constructive way, I guarantee one form or another, you will develop what they call obsessive behaviors, distorted personality. And if there's anything in your life that has an addictive nature to it, smoking, caffeine, lots of sugar and carbohydrates, alcohol, then under those circumstances, whereas before, maybe for the whole rest of your life, you handle that without no sweat, all of a sudden you become an addict because it pushes you over the edge. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you can therefore take hypnosis or subliminal technology and all these different techniques they got here, and you can expose yourself to it, and if you've got enough willpower to back it up, they might help you to quit smoking. But unless you deal with those underlying causes of stress that got you there in the first place, sure, you'll stop smoking, all right, and you start eating like a pig or drinking like a fish. So I've seen people, they go from, you know, wrecking their lungs to wrecking their livers to wrecking their, you know, really. Unless you deal with the real-life circumstances and do this up front, and you realize that there's something fundamentally false witness, deceptive about all of this. And by the way, you have no idea what else they're pumping into your head right along with stop smoking. Okay? There's better ways. I'll tell you what, gang. I wouldn't be here today if I wasn't absolutely convinced that there is no problem that any human being could get into, no matter how addictive, no matter how entrapping, no matter how powerful it might be, that the power of the living spirit of God cannot completely overcome. and I am a living example of that. I won't go into all details about my life, gang, but it's quite a story, okay? Not a pretty one. But God's done that for me, and he's doing it for a lot of other people a whole lot more messed up than I was, okay? That's the way we go after problems, not this junk. Next, please. Do you realize how widespread this stuff is? This is probably the scariest book I think I've ever read. It is very difficult to get a hold of. Published back in 73, I think they tried to get rid of every copy that came out as quickly as possible. Good luck finding it, gang, but at least write down the title. If you ever run across it, grab it and hold on to it for your life. Back in the 70s, this guy did an expose on some of the techniques back then that they were using. I'll only give you one citation from it because it gives you a good insight into why subliminals are so sneaky and why they're so effective. Okay, they talk about, for example, electric probe stimulation. You may have heard of this, where they would run a very, very thin copper wire into a different portion of the brain, give that area a very low-level dose of electrical shock that immediately activates that portion of the brain, and whatever is stored in those cells will immediately be released. If it's a memory that maybe was before you were even born, boom, there it is. Now, of course, if it's a memory that's relatively benign or even nice, then it's really neat, because when it comes back, it's just like you were experiencing it for the very first time, as real as if it were happening right then. That's fine as long as it's a good memory. They've had people literally totally flip out on them right there in the laboratory because they brought something back terrible. Now, what they did, let's show you how this works, is they had some individuals, and they implanted this stuff in them, and they discovered, like, especially when they go into some parts like the hypothalamus, okay, where it actually affects a motor function in the body, they dosed this one guy, and it made him turn his head. That's all it did. That particular group of cells controlled that movement. They pushed the button, he turned his head. What's weird about it is he didn't know it was happening. And he turned his head, and because this was coming literally from inside of his own mind, the other aspect of his mind immediately justified that experience. They pushed the button, he turned his head. Why'd you look over there? I thought I heard something. Oh, okay. They talk on with the interview, push the button again. Now why'd you look over there? I thought I saw something move. Oh, well, push the button again. Every time he looked over there, he had a reason, and they had him look at the polygraph. He wasn't lying. He really thought there was a reason for him looking over there. And finally they told him, hey, man, we're making you turn your head. No, you aren't. Yes, you are. No, you aren't. He said, all right, we're going to count to three. Don't turn your head. One, two, three. And then he knew he was being had. But do you realize how scary that is? And the people who are being exposed to this are the last people who are in any position to determine its effect or extent. You understand what I mean? Because it's happening to them. Okay, next please. That's scary, gang. All righty. Let's start looking at some of these scenes. Violence is one of them. This is Van Halen. Could you focus that a little bit better, please? You see this kind of stuff. You got a guy committing suicide, smashing his brains out against the wall here. You got somebody else being beaten and kicked down here. And look at this one. You have this little bitty kid. See this chubby-faced little kid here? Looks like, you know, maybe low-grade elementary school kid. And this big guy's got him pinned down and just busting his face up. See the blood oozing out from his knuckles? Crummy. Even more crummy, look at the girls. What's their reaction? Ha, 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 ha. Big joke. This is not a joke, gang. Hey, do we have a generation of people that is calloused to violence or what? Every week you hear about somebody sliced to ribbons in front of 50 witnesses and nobody even moves to help them. And I'll tell you what, gang, if you haven't been to some of these real good guts and gore slash and gash horror movies lately, then you probably don't realize how bad it's got and how our kids can sit there and watch the most gruesome, bloody, sick, blasphemous, horrible scenes. And you know what? If they're going to have any reaction at all, what it's liable to be? They're going to laugh. Is that a healthy response to that kind of thing? No way, gang. Hey, we've all gotten a head job in this respect. Do you remember, hey, some of you older ones, you know what I'm talking about. If you go back even 20 years ago, 10 or 20 years ago, if they'd had even a fraction of the cussing, swearing, sex, skin, and violence that is just all over the televisions today, people would have been having revolutions, wouldn't they? But they've added on little by little by little until now they can say, show, or do almost anything. And they aren't going to get enough righteous indignation to ruffle a feather, are they? We're all getting horribly calloused. And it spills over in our daily lives. We have now got the most violent generation in the history of this country, maybe of the world. We now have more sexual assaults, child abuse, rapes, wife, husband, children beatings, more murders, more vandalism, you name it, right? Have we got a problem? Do you think some of this might be contributing to that problem? Do you think this is really neutral and non-effective? Do you think all those commercials they throw at you are just a waste of time and money because they don't affect anybody? Next, please. Look at some of the titles we got here. Focus a little bit better, or want to clean your glasses, or one of the other. So this is love? I don't think so, right? Sinners Swing, Unchained, Dirty Movies. Now, that's the kind of stuff you want to fill your mind for. That's going to help you to stay straight and be cool, right? And look at this. They got bodies being crushed on a roller. They got little baby parts chopped up in a test tube with a joint up on top of it, a doobie, right? That's where the Doobie Brothers got their name. And they got kids. Sick stuff. Now, this is a relatively mild heavy metal group called Van Halen. This is nothing, gang. I can't show you a lot of the album work on here. I couldn't do that in public. I certainly can't read you the lyrics. It's bad enough, and I cleaned them up tremendously in those quotes you got there. You just can't believe how filthy and sick some of these songs are. Next, please. Oh, yes, and the gestures and everything else. You look at these guys, and they have got it all, haven't they? They've got money, they've got women, they've got fame, and they are angry, they are miserable, some of the most unhappy people in the world. The average lifespan of a top 10 rock star is 21 years. Suicide, murder, both, all the above, drug overdose, they don't live. This is a horrible world. And some of these guys, you know, they just jumped on the ride because they had talent. Somebody spotted them at some, you know, amateur band competition, hooked them up, and away they went. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. If you know somebody's getting mixed up in this stuff, you better pray for them. You better do what you can to help get them out, because they won't last in this industry. Even straight, good, terribly talented people are often corrupted. You see that happen so often, where they start out and their songs are relatively clean and decent in the beginning, and they just get raunchier and dirtier and grosser as time goes on. This, and we shouldn't be surprised. George Gallup, you've heard of Gallup surveys, right? George Gallup happens to be a Christian. He surveyed the top people in the media across the United States of America. What he found is absolutely staggering. You must have a copy in the library, don't you? If not, get after your librarian. We ought to look at that thing, because the results he found of the top people in the media are really fascinating. Irreligious, godless, occult. That's the people that's ruling the media industry. So it's from the abundance of their hearts that all these mouths are speaking, gang, and that's why they're promoting it. And that's also why we've got some mockery going on. Next, please. Oh, yes. We could go on and on. Hey, the label for most of the concerts and stuff goes on in this music is one word, really. Wild, in every sense of that word. Unleashed. Next, please. I could go on and on about this stuff. Look at this. These are actually from album covers. And, you know, this is happening somewhere every day. In the United States, some guy shoots every member of his family and blows his own head off, right? Yuck. Dwelling on these subjects is not constructive, gang. And look at this. The fear of life. Boom. Suicidal tendencies. You got some of the words of it right there in your quotes down at the bottom of the back page, the second last page anyway. Right. This is from an article, of course, from People Magazine. And many magazines have been crying out against this stuff, saying, is this contributing to the problem? You make up your own mind. I am convinced it is. When we've got kids after kid all over the United States and the world lying in their own blood, and what's on the turntable over and over again? Suicide solution. Shoot the thrill. Don't fear the reaper. All these suicidal and murder songs. And we know that some of these groups have inspired all kinds of horrible murderers. The California Night Stalker is only one. Charles Manson is another. There's who knows how many of them. John Hinckley Jr. I mean, they're all into this stuff, and they claim that these guys are, in fact, Charles Manson, have you got the book Helter Skelter? Or ever read it? You know what I'm talking about. The whole middle section is the defense of Charles Manson citing all this stuff. His attorney claimed that he was brainwashed by the media. I believe there's some truth to that. That's not the whole story, but I believe it's some of it. Next, please. Pick up some of this stuff. It's incredible. Oh, yeah, Madonna. Again, the kid loves wearing crosses and stuff. She loves singing songs, putting down things that are basically like a virgin, material girl. Whoever's got the big bucks, you know, she's encouraging girls to be prostitutes, and she's making fun of being a virgin. Interesting girl. Next. And if you read the article about her in People Magazine, she hates Christianity. She despises it. Prince, yeah, same thing. Let's keep going. I could say so much about these guys. Just read the quotes. You'll see what I'm talking about. Elton John, okay. I had every album this guy ever put out till this one came out. Fascinating. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Next, please. He's bisexual. He's also very anti-Christian. One of his big hits was Benny and the Jets up here. Even has the words printed. The last verse goes like this. Hey, kids, plug into the faithless. Maybe they're blinded, but Benny makes them ageless. We shall survive. Let's take ourselves along, and we'll fight our parents out in the streets and find out who's right and who's wrong. Hey, he's not the only one with that theme. Remember when Alice Cooper came out with his song, School's Out? School's out for summer. School's out forever. Because school's been blown to pieces. Remember that? And you may have been around this. They covered this stuff up incredibly, but how many schools have been going berserk? I mean, the whole school going nuts. Busting out the windows and everything else. I've seen that. I've experienced that. Guys, you talk about a scary event. It's happening. You think there isn't something evil being unleashed around here? Next, please. Okay, you got lots of interesting songs here. Jamaica Jerk Off. Obviously, two songs about prostitution. Here's one, All the Girls Love Alice. Wonderful song about being a lesbian. This is homosexuality, right? It's amazing getting paid for being laid. Go ask Alice. Call on Sweet Alice, but wait, your husband's away. You know, nice songs like that. Sick stuff. Next, please. I mean, that's where Elton John's been coming from. Queen, another gay group. Queen is an effeminate homosexual term. Look it up in the book. Don't take my word for it. A queen is a homosexual that comes on like a girl. If he comes on like a butch guy, then he's probably called a duke, right? And if it's a lesbian, a female homosexual, they'll either call her a dyke. Yeah, a dyke is usually what they call them, okay? So you're always hearing about queens, backstage queens, cover queens, all that kind of stuff. Next, please. Just so you know what some of these terms are. And by the way, those guys put out some pretty scary songs, like Another One Bites the Dust, Murdering People in the Streets, presumably and promoting homosexuality. They do that, don't they? And their theme song for Gay Liberation in America is which one? What's the song? We Are the Champions. They wrote it. We are the champions, no more the losers, for we are the champions. They chanted and sang that song all the way to the White House on one of their marches once. I heard it on the news. Okay. Boy George. Hey, if there's one thing Boy George said when he first started out in his career, it was, I don't do drugs. I think drugs is stupid. I don't tell anybody to do drugs. Was Boy George a liar? Was Boy George a hypocrite? I'm not gay. I'm not. And then his roommate comes out with AIDS. And of course, just look at it. He's a drag queen. Well, he got his music award, okay, and it was on national television, everything. It's about time you recognized a good drag queen. A drag queen is a feminine homosexual that dresses like a girl. That's him. Next, please. And a lot of interesting songs. The guy's a wreck. Here's another one, another drag queen. This is, of course, Twisted Sister, Dee Schneider. And they put out some interesting stuff. How many of you saw their video, We Ain't Gonna Take It? Isn't that amazing? The whole video is really neat because here's this kid, and his dad's concerned about him because the kid's really into rock music, and his dad's trying to, you know, say, son, this isn't, I'm worried about you, I don't like this. And so the kid turns into Dee Schneider, and his brother and sister turn into the rest of the group, and what do they start doing to dad? Beat him up. And eventually they drag him by, they slam his face into the doors, they drag him down the stairs by his hair, and they throw him out an upstairs window, presumably killing him. We ain't gonna take it. Now, do you think this is going to help the relationship of kids to their parents and respecting those in authority? Or do you think it has no effect whatsoever? I'll tell you, there is so much hostility. I mean, I talk to kids all the time. I don't know why I fight with my parents so much. I don't know why I hate my brother, all this stuff. You know, sometimes I just get so mad I could kill him, and I don't know why. I got a good idea where some of it at least is coming from. And I don't think it's healthy. Next, please. Oh, yeah. Well, metal. By the way, this was removed off the shelves in Shawano and Cecil, Wisconsin, when they pulled the rest of the pornography off. If you're familiar with these magazines, and I got copies of them. They got nudes, all kinds of filthy language, all kinds of sexual stuff all through it. And you can go into Kmart and Shopko and places like that and pick them right off the shelf, even if you're 5 years old. And most people won't even notice. Next, please. I never realized what's in this stuff. Here's a book. Gang, we're going into a new territory here. We've kind of touched on a little bit, but now it's going to get ugly, if you think this wasn't already. The area of concern probably biggest to me, the one that I've done more research in, and the one that's probably a continuing concern in my ministry probably more than the others, it's what we call the occult. There are cults, you know, like Jim Jones and all that, the Moonies, and then there is the occult, which can be distinguished. We're talking about Satanism, witchcraft, demonology. We're talking about all kinds of divination, like Ouija boards, tarot cards, crystal ball, palm reading, astrology, okay? There's so much that you can't believe it. We're talking about things like spiritism, okay? And I wish I could tell you today that there is no devil. I wish I could tell you that you don't have to worry about demons, that nobody's getting possessed anymore, that there is no power behind witchcraft. And all this junk that you hear about going on, these human sacrifices, nothing but deranged, weird people. If I told you that, friends, I'd be lying to you because I know better. I have personally counseled the next priest in the Church of Satan. I've worked with over 45 people in witchcraft. I'm almost monthly helping lead people out of this stuff. And you want to talk about Christians. You get somebody out of this garbage, they know it's not just going to church on Sunday morning, gang. Okay? And if you don't believe me, you call these people liars. This is put out by Reader's Digest, 1986. The personal accounts of five currently living Americans and their experiences with witchcraft, demons, and so forth. And one of the things you're going to find out real quick is, gang, what demons can do to a human mind is absolutely impressive. The human brain, as one biologist put it, is the perfect machine for a ghost. And that's exactly the truth. And either your geist, your spirit, is at the controls, or it gets shoved aside and another spirit takes over. And when they take over, they can get your body to do things that you couldn't consciously do. and you become a prisoner inside of your own temple, gang. But of course, if yours is the temple of the Holy Spirit, they can't do it. No Christian can be possessed. And I can bear, in fact, I gave Ron one of those sheets, just the thing I do when I give my talk just on a cult, all right? And a few of the Bible verses like 1 Peter 5 and, you know, James 3 and all those others that talk about, you know, those who are born of God, the evil one cannot touch them. And, you know, and if you confront even the devil himself, he must flee from you in Jesus' name, right? And these kind of things. Hey, gang, we have no right to be afraid of this stuff. I mean that. We should be doing what Vince Lombardi said with the Green Bay Packers. The best defense is a good offense. We're supposed to be plundering their kingdom, not letting them get us. And I said this, I've written letters to the seminary, and maybe some of you others around here can spread around too. I think it's a crime that our seminaries do not have at least one course on the occult. You guys are going to face it when you get out there, whether you know it or not. And in fact, you're going to face a lot of it, and you won't even know that's what it is because nobody even pointed this stuff out to you. Okay? And it's going to rip apart families in your church. If you live in Wisconsin like I am, which happens to be the center of witchcraft in the United States of America, the largest witchcraft organization in the world called Wicca happens to have its headquarters in Madison. I run into it all the time. And when I was working with 35 witches of the Satanist up in Minnesota, it's up there too. And if you watched Oprah Winfrey and saw where all these children are being sacrificed, guess where? St. Louis, Springfield, Chicago, Milwaukee, Denver, right? Where some of you people are going to and coming from. Okay, next please. Don't let me start on this one. I'll go on all night. Magic of psychic power. Unleash your occult force, power control to influence people to do what you want. They promise you everything. Next please. They promise you sex, money, wealth, you name it. And to a great extent, they deliver. Don't kid yourself. There is power behind this stuff. It does work. But of course, their ultimate goal is to destroy you and take you straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And I can tell you stories all night about this stuff. Okay? Next, please. The same promises you get in voodoo and all the rest of this stuff. Other occult aspects. Yoga, youth, and reincarnation. You know what reincarnation is, don't you? You know, you start out in plant life, and then you come back in insect life. Some of you can bug me anyway. And then you come back as the smaller animals. Hey, there are people starving all over the world right now because they won't kill the rats. Because they embody spirits. You've all heard of the sacred cows of India, haven't you? You know, they won't touch them. Don't mess with that cow. That could be your grandfather. Yeah, it kind of looks like grandpa, doesn't it? You know, and then you become a human. And if you accumulate enough karma, positive karma, you've heard those songs, karma chameleon, karma man, all that kind of stuff. This is out of, like, philosophies of I Ching, Eastern, you know, different kinds of things. And what do they call their god? What does witches call their god? What is it called in the Orient? What is God, the ultimate god, called? The Force. All you fans of Star Wars and so forth, if you didn't realize that was nothing but sorcery and witchcraft all through that whole thing, and Obi-Wan Kenobi was nothing but a good guru, right, and Darth Vader was a black, you know, an evil sorcerer, okay, on your sheets, turn to the very back sheet, down at the very bottom, you see the yin and yang symbol, you know, it looks like black and white, okay, and that's a symbol of the Force, at least in Oriental philosophy. They got many symbols for the Force, okay, but it can be used for good or evil, for black or white, right? You've heard of black witchcraft, white witchcraft? Don't believe it, gang. If it's witchcraft, it is only tapping into one source. And he is ultimately and purely evil, okay? And so this is all this kind of stuff. If you accumulate enough positive karma, you can become a holy man, a guru, a maharishi, an ayatollah, yeah? A sensei, a master. And then in your next life, you'll leave the cycle of birth and death and become one with the universe. You become divine. You become God. Do you realize this is part of the religion of people even like John Denver? He believes someday he's going to become God. George Burns beating to it. Next, please. Here you see it in the group Moody Blues. Remember these guys? Hey, they did some of the soundtrack to Karate Kid 2, and you see all this popping up in some of these popular teen shows also. How many of you saw the movie with Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin, All of Me? Remember the beginning of that thing where the old gal's dying, and they bring in a guru, and they gather up the girl, and they're going to try to get the soul of the old gal into the bowl, into the girl, and instead it gets into Martin and all this kind of stuff. You have multiple personalities and same bodies. Remember all that stuff? Remember just before she's died, he comes in there, and he's got the turban on, they put the bowl down, and he goes, oh. Remember that? That's what they're talking about. These guys give you their religion in this particular album called In Search of the Lost Chord. Not umbilical cord, no. But it's a tone, a note, a sound. And see the guru, he's left the cycle of birth and death, gone one of the universe, he's now become divine, become God. Next, please. Here's how you get there. On the inside of this album, they give you three paragraphs that explain you what to do. You're supposed to stare at this. See that symbol there in the middle? That is a whole bunch of equilateral triangles up and down, forming a whole bunch of Mogen Davids, right? Star of Davids? That's what that means, right? Mogen David is the Star of David. You see it on the bottle, right? Hey, are you guys taking Hebrew around here? Okay, well, anyway, and we call it, you know, the Star of David, but of course it's inscribed in a circle. It's not a Star of David. This is a hexagram. You get the word hex from it to cast spells, summon demons, curse people, right? And you're supposed to stare at this baby, and then you play the song Om, which is the Hindu word for unity or oneness, right? And then you're supposed to sit there and relax and invite the spirits to come and take control. Crash course in demonology, courtesy of the Moody Blues. Next, please. You think these guys aren't pushing religion? Here it is in a simplified form. You see this symbol anywhere, gang, you better be on your toes. Somebody may be using it initially, but you don't even know what it means. But it is something that indicates you may be in the wrong place with the wrong people. Next, please. Here is, again, Wisconsin, a lot of this stuff. Here's a couple other symbols. One down here at the bottom, if you haven't seen it before, is called an Ankh, A-N-K-H. I've seen pastors in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Communion wearing these babies. And I go, ah! Look it up in any dictionary, any encyclopedia. And there it is. It's Egyptian witchcraft. It's a talisman. It's used to summon demons, cast spells. Here it is, all the hieroglyphics on it, you know. It has no connection to genuine Christianity that I know of. And even if it did, the associations here are worthy to avoid it, right? It's the symbol for Ra, the sun god. It's on Egyptian pyramids. It's all over the place, gang. So if you're going to try to make it into a Christian symbol, I think you're fighting against the grain, you know. Well, anyway, and here's another one up here on the forehead. See that one? Let's look at the next one. Better look at it. It's not your simple five-pointed star. It's called a pentacle. It's a continuous line. Each part goes over and under the next, over and under, all around, and never is broken. Okay, this is a favorite with your extreme witchcraft groups. It is particularly used by those in Satanism. Anybody ever heard of a name named Aleister Crowley? Ozzy Osbourne dedicated one song to him, Mr. Crowley, off his Blizzard of Oz album, I think it was, okay? Aleister Crowley was the world's foremost and most infamous Satanist, okay? This guy is something else. And if you ever see pictures of Aleister Crowley in your books on Satanism and so forth, almost always you'll see him wearing either this one or the hexagram, okay? Also another interesting guy named Anton Zandor LaVey, we're going to look at him a little later on. He is very frequently wearing this symbol. This symbol is popping up all over the place. I think they're trying to get us very callous to it so nobody takes it seriously or don't think it means anything at all. Next, please. So, for example, you see it on a lot of albums. The guy over here on AC/DC's album Highway to Hell is wearing it. Next, please. You see it also on a lot of other places. We'll come up with some of those. Like, for example, I saw it once on Kmart's Christmas wrap along with all the Christmas trees. They had pentacles, every other one. Good stuff. Anyway, here's something else. Modern Witch's Spellbook. Look who publishes this. Who is it? Dell. Number one or number two biggest publishers of occult materials. Hard to tell. They're always fighting it out, right? Modern Witch's Spellbook. Now, here's where I'm getting at, guys. You have got to be discerning because occultists will use any symbol, any phrase, any name that they think has any spiritual significance or power connected to it. So you shouldn't be surprised when, for example, Satanists call the devil Jesus, Christ, Adonai, Yahweh, the Lord. I'm not kidding. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. I've got occult books that they list all this. And in the back of this book, for example, you have a whole chapter of curses to bring illness and to kill people. Every one of them begin, and I quote, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Witches wear crosses. They quote the Bible. They have a lot of their services with open Bibles laying out there on the nude woman's belly. Okay? And you're going to see there's a lot of groups. You're going to see some of the most absolute, incredible, occult, blasphemous, grody groups wearing crosses and singing about Jesus. Don't be fooled. Just like Prince, the Lord they're talking about is not the one that died on the cross in Calvary. Okay, not the one of the Bible. You've got to be discerning. It's like the cults, right? They use all our terms, but they got their own meanings. Next, please. So here's another thing, pyramid power. Now, this relates to the whole area of Egyptian witchcraft, and it's everywhere, okay? How many of you saw the movie with, Burt Reynolds? It was Semi-Tough, okay? Remember that one? The night before the big football game, he's sitting there with a pyramid in bed, you know, trying to zap in the power and all this kind of stuff. It used to be a big thing, right? Egyptology. The reason why we're seeing so much of this, a book called The Necronomicon, probably the most evil book that's been published in the 80s, has declared this to be the age of Horus. I'm going to show you the eye of Horus and that symbol a little later on. But all of a sudden, everywhere you're turning, it's all Egyptian, isn't it? Egyptian this and Egyptian that. You're seeing pyramids and sphinxes and scarabs, these ugly little beetles and stuff all over the place, and walk like an Egyptian and everything else. Just watch. You'll see what I mean. On the album covers, Power Slave by Iron Maiden, everything. All Egyptian because they believe this is the year, or at least the time, maybe not the year, but soon, that the gate will finally be opened. And I'll talk about the gate in just a minute. Those of you who saw Ghostbusters, you already know what I'm talking about. Next, please. Okay, earth, wind, and fire, Egyptology. Next, please. You see some of the symbolism popping up in a lot of different places. Okay, here you have different symbols for different kinds of culture and religion. Music, Hinduism, Christianity, literature, Shakespeare. Here's your Eye of Horus in a very elaborate form. See that thing? It's like an eye with a bunch of swirlies coming off and a shaft coming down from in front. It's in many other simplified forms, but that's rather elaborate. Okay? And you see that all over the place. It's a significant figure in hieroglyphics in many other ways. Oh, you got two Jewish, you know, the menorah and the Star of David again. Next, please. On the other side, you got another batch where you got the symbol over here for Jupiter. That's the big one up here. And then Caduceus of Medicine. You got Buddhism. Oh, by the way, here's your Ankh again. See it? Oh, and look at the background. Where'd you ever see that before? On the dollar bill, okay, we have many occult symbols in the official symbols of our nation. And by the way, if you didn't know about it, read about it. The bald eagle was almost pushed out by what symbol? What was almost the official symbol of the United States? Anybody know? That's you guys. Okay, well, anyway. All right, this is the evil eye. How many of you saw the movie Fiddler on the Roof? You remember every time one of their girls would say something blasphemous or non-traditional, she'd kiss her finger, touch the wall, and say, "Don't do that, child. You're going to get the evil eye on us." Remember that? All through that movie, that's Jewish witchcraft. And there's a whole segment of that. You know, if you're familiar with the Kabbalah or Kabbalah and all these Jewish mysticism and things all mingled in, I think that's specifically what Jesus is confronting, for example, in the book of Acts with the sons of Sceva. They were Jewish witches, okay? And you see so much of this throughout there, these false prophets and others. Poor Moses trying to fight and trying to convince Pharaoh that he wasn't just another sorcerer when he's down there, you know, confronting with all these miracles. He'd do a miracle, they do a miracle, you know? It's impressive what the devil can do. And if you read through the book of Job and some of those others and see how even when they oppress a human being, when they just get some control over the mind so they can affect the body, it is very impressive what they can do. But we shouldn't be that impressed because we know the limits and we also know the answer. Okay? Next, please. But many of our founding fathers were occultists and they worked some of these symbols in there where they got the chance. Here's Rush's album. Rush, of course, is a drug term, peak of a drug trip. What a rush, man, right? Okay, and here you have The Necromancer. This album was dedicated to Mr. Rod Serling. Remember him from The Twilight Zone, who published at least three different occult books? He was an occultist, if you couldn't figure that out through The Twilight Zone. We mingled it all through there. Okay, and here you see the sorcerer, the glowing pyramid, his hands on a skull beside him, his book of sorcery under his arm, and the coiled serpent at his feet. All occult symbols, see? The Necromancer. Necromancy, of course, trying to communicate with the dead, cited, for example, in Deuteronomy 18 as one of those horrible things that God considers an abomination. Let me ask you a question. On the basis of your study of Scripture, can we ordinarily communicate with the dead according to the Bible? Except Jesus Christ, who's not really dead, gang, okay? No. Do they know what's going on down here? No. They have no idea. In fact, that'd spoil paradise, wouldn't it, if they did? I wouldn't want to know what's going on back here. No thanks. And ordinarily, the dead do not come back, do they, unless God intervenes. So if you're going to go to a seance, and they're going to read your palm or do whatever kind of ritual they're going to do, and they get in touch with Uncle Charlie, who have you probably really gotten in touch with? A demon. And by the way, as far as imitating you and me, that's nothing. You go to a palm reader or someone that's got tarot cards or a crystal ball or a Ouija board or whatever it is, those demons know all about you and me. They're right here right now, aren't they? They're watching us all the time. And when they make predictions of the future, that's no big shake. Hey, they got guys right now watching what's going on in Moscow. They're at the Pentagon. They're at the House of Lords. They know what's going on. And so they can make some lot more educated guesses, but that's all they are. Because who has the last word on the future? God. And who has the last word on your future? Don't forget it. Don't get scared of this stuff, guys. Get mad. I mean that. We got a war to fight. There's no time to chicken out. Next, please. Caress of Steel. You ever been caressed by steel? Sure, it's shade this morning, right? More like a self-sacrifice. Well, anyway, here we go. We got some more of these guys. See them wearing onks? This is WASP. We are sexual perverts. That's what they say it stands for. Who knows? But you can't believe some of these songs, these guys. Next, please. And there are stage shows, the filthy language, everything else. Blackie Lawless sucking out. This is, you know, cannibalism, right? And blood business, all this junk. Next, morbidity. And again, you got to realize that the human mind, and this is, okay, Alice Cooper, the human mind is like a radio tuner, isn't it? Now, the Bible enjoins us to keep our mind away from the kingdom of darkness and things that have to do with that, and rather to tune in that which is good, right, and beautiful, the kingdom of God. And if you're filling your mind full of, you know, horror movies and bad junkie and sex and all this kind of drugs, you're just like tuning into the devil's frequency, his channel, and he's going to have an influence on your life to one extent or another. Rather, of course, tune into what is good, right, and beautiful, specifically the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, faith, remember that? And then God will have an opportunity. You know, make your life a devoted life of prayer. That's like plugging into a light socket, isn't it? And the power of God is going to flow. As much opportunity as you give him, he's going to work. You're the only one that's really holding him back to a large extent. You're not giving him any opportunities, are you? What do we mean by the means of grace, if not that God can work through him and the Holy Spirit can change lives? And if you guys are going to go into work for the kingdom, you better turn loose his power in your life. You better give him opportunities. Because this is what you're facing, gang, whether you know it or not. And what's exciting about it is, you bet you can. And you can't do anything but win if you do. I wouldn't be here today going on about this, gang. I wouldn't be out there trying to pick off, you know, witches and Satanists and so forth and pulling people out of homosexuality and this, that, and the other if I didn't know that, like Job, he has built a hedge about me and prospers the work of my hands. And those who are born of God, the evil, and cannot even touch them. Huh? Hey, this is exciting stuff, guys.